The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 23, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on December 31st, 2014, in Sydney, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Deha. To Sarva Sangata Jagat Tastu Iti Dvidha Atra Eva Mrigya Purusha Na Iti Na Iti Iti Atat Tyajan Dehastu Sarvasanghato
Dehastu Sarvasanghato
Jagattashtu Riti Dvidha Atraiva Mrigya Purusho
Atraiva Mrigya Purusho
Neti Neti Yatatyajan
Neti Neti
Dehastu Sarvasanghato Jagattashtu Riti Dvidha Atraiva Mrigya Purusho Neti Neti Yatachyajan Deha
The
body.
To
but Sarvasanghata, the combination of all the 24 elements, Jagat, seen to be moving, Tashtu,
and standing in one place,
Iti, thus, Dvidha,
two kinds,
Atra Eva. In this matter,
Mrigya,
to be searched for,
Purusha,
the living entity, the soul,
Na,
not,
Iti,
thus,
Na,
not,
Iti,
thus,
Iti,
in this way,
Atat,
what is not spirit,
Tsyajan,
giving up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, the Savior of the Universe, Ki Jai. There are two kinds of bodies for every individual soul. A gross body made of five gross elements, and a subtle body made of three subtle elements. Within these bodies, however, is the spirit soul. One must find the soul by analysis, thinking, this is not it, this is not it. Thus, one must separate spirit from matter. Purport. As previously stated, Svarnam yata gravisu hemakara chetreshu gagaista dabhigya apnuyat. An expert in the study of soil can find out where gold is and then dig there. He can then analyze the stone and test the gold with nitric acid. Similarly, one must analyze the whole body to find within the body the spirit soul. In studying one's own body, one must ask himself whether his head is his soul, his fingers are his soul, his hand is his soul, and so on. In this way, one must gradually reject all the material elements and the combinations of material elements in the body. Then, if one is expert and follows the Acharya, he can understand that he is the spiritual soul living within the body. The greatest Acharya, Krishna, begins his teachings in Bhagavad Gita by saying,
Dehi nausmin yata dehe kumarang yovanam jara tata dehantra praptir dirastatra namhuyati.
As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2:13. The spirit soul possesses the body and is within the body. This is the real analysis. The soul never mixes with the bodily elements. Although the soul is within the body, it is separate and always pure. One must analyze and understand his self. This is self-realization. Neti-neti is the analytical process of rejecting matter. By expertly conducting such an analysis, one can understand where the soul is. One who is not an expert, however, cannot distinguish gold from earth, nor the soul from the body.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
So, if you want to be able to distinguish gold from earth, you must become expert. An ordinary layman, if you ask him to do that, he won't have a clue of how to do that. So in a similar way, if you want to distinguish the soul from the body, you must become expert. So how do you become expert? Well, how do you become an expert gold finder? You have to be trained by someone who knows how to find the gold within the earth. An expert, you see. An expert gold specialist, you see. So you need an expert soul specialist who can guide you to actually find your true self within that body. The subtle and the gross body are two coverings of the actual self. So if we have the opportunity to come in contact with such a person, as we have all been blessed by the Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, these books are the textbooks which teach us how to find out the soul from within the body. These are the most expert manuals, laboratory manuals, of how you can actually realize your true self and become a self-realized person. This is actually the whole purpose of our human life. If you live your human life without becoming self-realized, you've wasted it. It's simply shama eva hi kevalyam, kevalam. It's a useless labor. Wasted life. If one simply engages in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, which are the animal's activities, then you're no better than an animal. This is why the Vedas say dvipada pashu, two-legged animal. And then when you get old, you become tripada pashu, because you're walking with a cane, you see. So, do we want to be in that position? Simply animal, two-legged animals, and then later on three-legged animals. Is that a glorious life? You see. Actually, what is the karma if you live an animalistic life in this lifetime? In your next life, you'll actually be an animal. If you live like an animal now, your next birth will be an animal. That's a fact. So you don't want to be a... Would you like to be a cat or a dog or a monkey or a chimpanzee or a... In Texas, we have the armadillo. Would you like to be one of these creatures running around? Is it? then if you don't want to be an animal in your next life, then seriously take up this pathway of Krishna bhakti, this pathway of self-realization. This is the injunction of Vedanta Sutra, Tato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human form, you must utilize it to realize, who am I? Where have I come from? What is my purpose in existence? How can I achieve that purpose as quickly and as easily as possible? This is what your human life is meant for, to become back in your original identity as a pure spiritual being. Actually, as Prabhupada points out here, the soul is pure. So what's the difficulty? If I am a soul and the soul is pure, then what is the problem? The problem is we have so many layers of contamination. Just like the gold is pure gold, but it's hidden within the earth. You see? It's hidden. Only an expert can find it. So in the same way that gold is hidden within earth, the pure soul is hidden beneath so many layers of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, etc. So it's a very good simile given here by the Bhagavatam and by expanded on by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A very good simile. We have to be expert miners to find, instead of mining for gold, we're mining for the actual self. And really there's no other purpose for our human life. We have to engage in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending to keep body and soul together. That's okay. You will eat whatever is required to stay healthy, sleep. If you require some sex life for producing saintly children, that you may do. Defending these things from aggressors, you can do that. But there's so much more to life simply than that, you see. The real purpose is to understand what is my actual purpose for existence. Where have I come from? That I come out of nothing, like Dr. Stephen Hawking says, that everything came out of absolutely nothing. Did we just pop out of nothing? Is that a logical, scientific conclusion? No, it's simply a dogma. Where's the proof? Show me one experiment where you can take nothing and get something out of it. Go to the lab, do it, sir. Take nothing and get something out of it. Just do it, you know. As my temple president used to say in Gainesville, put up or shut up, you know. Either do it or just close your mouth. You know, we don't want dogma. The human life is not meant for dogmatic thinking. Dogs maybe dogs can be dogmatic, but we're not going to be dogmatic. You see, a human life is meant for intelligent analysis. Just like the gold finder, he intelligently analyzes the soil. He finds out the gold. We have to intelligently analyze what is the actual self. There's an interesting experiment you can do. Prabhupada is mentioning different things here. Where is the soul? Is my head my soul? Are my fingers my soul? Is my hand my soul? It's an interesting experiment we can do. Actually, do this when you're talking to a group of people. You can say, okay, point to your ear. Everybody points to their ear, you see. You can try it. Everybody try this. Point to your ear. Point to your nose. Point to your forehead. Now point to yourself. Everybody goes here. Even non-devotees will do that. Everybody points here. Almost everyone will point here because we intuitively know that's where I am. That's where the spirit soul is situated in the heart. Almost everybody, just take a group of non-devotees in a college classroom or wherever. Try this and you'll see almost everybody points here because intuitively we know I'm right here. I'm seated within the heart, you see. So that's the fact, you see. The jiva, in the present state, the jiva is a tiny particle, 1/10,000, the tip of the hair, the Vedas describe, seated within the heart of the living entity. That's where the heart gets all that energy. Actually, the spirit soul is getting energy from the Paramatma, the Supreme Soul, who's sitting beside it, and also within it at the same time. The individual soul is getting energy, unlimited supply of energy from the Supreme Soul, and then that spirit soul then gives energy to the heart, to pump the blood throughout the whole body. And then that consciousness, just as the Supreme Soul, Krishna, is conscious of everything throughout all of existence, in a similar way, but much smaller way, obviously, the individual soul is conscious within his body. You can pinch your finger and feel it, you see, because that consciousness, which is situated here, is expanded out through the body. Consciousness then connects with all, you know, your head, your toes, your belly, your internal organs. It's connected. It's all wired together there. You see. But it's a temporary thing. When the soul leaves the body, you see, right now there's consciousness can be experienced within the body itself. You can feel something. When the spirit soul actually leaves the body, then there's no more feeling. You can kick a dead body and there'll be no reaction. The body won't complain, "Why are you kicking me?" You see. So the consciousness is actually there in the spirit soul, that spiritual spark. So, as described here by Srila Prabhupada, that spark, that spiritual spark, is pure soul. So right now, we're experiencing the impurities, I mentioned earlier in this lecture. We're experiencing the impurities due to a false sense of wanting to lord it over this material world. You see, we're not really meant to lord it over this material world. We're trying to. We're trying to claim proprietorship. Just like there's a famous song in the U.S., "This land is your land, this land is my land." It's actually not true. This land is Krishna's land, you see. It's a real popular, "This land is your land, this land is my land." It's not. That's nonsense. It's Krishna's property. Sarva loka maheshvaram, you see. It's all Krishna's property. We're trying, because we are trying to claim proprietorship, which is a false thing. That's the impurity right there. The first impurity is you try to claim proprietorship, try to claim ownership over that which belongs to the Lord. If I try to claim ownership of your wife or your car or your guitar or whatever it may be, I'm a criminal, you see. I cannot claim proprietorship because it's yours. So if I try to claim proprietorship over that which is the property of the Supreme Person, I'm a criminal. And such persons, criminally minded persons, are given a place to be reformed of that criminal mentality, and that place is this material world. So we're not just thrown here helplessly into this material world. Krishna comes again and again. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam tadharmasya tadatmanam shujamyaham. You see, Krishna comes here again and again to deliver us from this nescience. He sends his great devotees, he sends great powerful acharyas, spiritual masters, to this world, like his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, my initiating spiritual master and the founder acharya of ISKCON. He sends great personalities like this here to rescue us from our criminal mentality. This criminal mentality we have of trying to be the enjoyers and the proprietors of what belongs to someone else and is meant to be enjoyed by someone else, that puts us in a very artificial, impure state of consciousness where you cannot truly find happiness. If you're trying to be something other than what you actually are, it doesn't work. If a fish tries to be a creature of the land, how long can he be successful? Within a few minutes, he'll be flopping in agony because he can't breathe on the land. So we actually can't function in this atmosphere. Therefore, people are going crazy. They grab guns and they start shooting. You see, we cannot, this is not our natural atmosphere. That's why we're frustrated here. No matter how hard we try, no matter how successful we even become, even if you can become Lord Brahma, the chief demigod of this whole material world, still you'll be in a miserable position. You see? Because this is not our actual home. This material world is not our home. Don't think otherwise. It's not our home. Our real home is to be back in the water of our original habitat, in the spiritual existence, on the other side of the river known as Vidaja, which is the perspiration coming from the body of the Lord creates a boundary the Virajar River. Now we're on the material side of the Virajar River. We need to get back to our original home on the spiritual side of the Virajar River. That is called back to home, back to Godhead. So please, please, please do not throw away your valuable human life. Do you know how many species of life you have evolved through to get this human body? 8 million different lower forms as a fish. Jalajanavalakshani. There's 900,000 types of species of fish. Stavara lakshavinshati. I see 2 million types of non-moving beings, plants, trees, etc. Trimaya Rudra Sankhyaka, 1,100,000 types of worms and reptiles. Trimaya Rudra Sankhyaka, Pakshinam Dashalakshanam, 1 million types, what is that, 10 million, yeah, 10 lakhs, yeah, 10 lakhs of birds. And there's Krimiyod, and there's Jalada Navalakshani Stavara Langsha Vikshanti, Krimiyod Rudasankhyaka Pakshinam Dashalangchang Shalakshani Pashavaha. There's 3 million types of beasts and 400,000 different types of human beings. So one should be very careful in this human life, understanding it's with great difficulty that I have come through all these millions and millions of births and deaths to get this human form. Actually, Darwin was halfway right. There is something called evolution, but he didn't understand how it works. Evolution doesn't happen, the species do not evolve into other species, but through the process of transmigration from birth, taking birth in one species and then dying, and in that there is an evolution. You actually evolve from the lower forms to the higher forms through the cycle of birth and death. And gradually when you get to the human form, now you have your golden opportunity to actually wake up and realize, I'm not this body. I'm an eternal spiritual being. What am I doing here? Simply serving my senses. This is idiocy. It's insanity to spend my whole energy serving these material senses and the material senses of my family members, you see. It doesn't make sense. It's suicidal from the spiritual perspective. It's suicidal simply to engage in serving the material senses, because you're actually killing yourself. It's called atmaha, the killer of the self. By simply engaging in sense gratification, serving the covering of the self, instead of taking care of the self within, you are a murderer. You are a murderer of your own self, you see. So please don't be suicidal, killing yourself, by simply engaging in a life of sense gratification. Utilize this human form of life to serve the Supreme Person, Krishna or God. Engage yourself in serving the Supreme Person, because that will bring you back to your original natural identity as the eternal servant of the Lord. This is confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivara Swarupahoi Krishnara Nitya Das. The constitutional position of the living entity is he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So please, please, we are begging you, don't misuse this life that God has given you in this human form. Fully utilize it to awaken your Krishna consciousness. Read these books of Srila Prabhupada. Please, we ask everyone, we have these books, full set available. We ask everyone, get a full set in your home. And once you get the set, read it. How many of you have completed your study of all of Prabhupada's books? Raise your hand. Here's one person, two. There's two of us, myself and Madhvacharya Das. We have read all of Prabhupada's books. Now all you ought to catch up with us on your reading. You have to read all of Prabhupada's books, and if you're going to read them, you have to have them. So today, is there some special sale today for the new year? Who's in charge of the book sale? Yeah. Is there some special price today? The new year's special? All right. So if you don't have the full set, take the, we have it right here waiting for you, the full set. If you already have the full set, then you also can pick up mine as an add-on. My book is here too. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How can we get reciprocation from Krishna?
Ye tamang prapadyante tang sataya bhajamyaham.
Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So, all you have to do is surrender to Krishna. What does that mean, to surrender to Krishna? Well, what does it usually mean? In warfare, it means you're going to stop fighting, you put down your gun and you raise your hands, you see. So we do that here. We also raise our hands in the kirtan. I surrender. We dance it like this. I surrender, you see. So you can raise your hands in the kirtan, showing that you are surrendered to Krishna, you see. And this way, all Krishna say, oh, there's a surrendered soul. So you can dance in the kirtan. You can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Krishna say, oh, just see this sincere soul. He's chanting and dancing in ecstasy. Let me bless him with this mercy. And then what else you can do? After you're a little tired from singing and dancing, then you can take some prasadam. Take the foodstuffs offered to the Lord. That's another type of surrender. Surrendering your tongue to Krishna by taking only Krishna prasad. And then while you're taking prasadam, you can talk about Krishna with your friends. Krishna is beautiful. Krishna is amazingly powerful. He's so renounced. In spite of having all those girlfriends, he didn't have any sex. He remained a brahmachari during the whole rasa dance. You see, he's very renounced. And then you can talk about how he knows everything, how he owns everything, how he's the most famous person. You can just talk about Krishna. So the more you talk about Krishna, the more you hear about Krishna, the more you bow down to Krishna, the more you engage in the service of Krishna, the more you offer everything to Krishna, every step Krishna reciprocates. At every little thing you do, Krishna gives you 10 times of reciprocation. Show me any investment in the Australian stock market where you can get a 10 times return. This is better than any stock market anywhere in the world. You put in $1, you get 10 back, you see. You put in one little bit of service, Krishna reciprocates 10 times over. And now that you've gotten that 10 times reciprocation, you're empowered to give Krishna 10 times more than you did to begin with. And now you get 100 times back. In this way, the mathematics works in your favor, you see. Pretty soon you're getting millions of times reciprocation from Krishna. Millions and billions and quadrillions and quintillions and sextillions, octillions, zillions and zillions of times reciprocation from Krishna, from even every utterance of Hare Krishna. So, go for it. Just try to give a little something to Krishna and just get the ball rolling. You may say, but I'm not a devotee. I don't feel much devotion. Just do something, a little bit for Krishna. And that reciprocation will come. And then when you get it, give more to Krishna. When you get more, give more to Krishna. And this way, before you know it, the snowball effect will carry you back to home, back to Godhead. Okay, let's see. I'll put him over here. Can you tell us some heart-rending story of Srila Prabhupada? Yes, I can certainly do that. Next question. I'll save that for the end. That's a glove jamun at the end of the lecture. Regarding transmigration of the soul, if the soul descends to the lower species, does the living entity enter each of the 8 million lower species before returning to the human platform? That's an interesting question. We do actually go through all the species. How it happens. One thing is, when you fall down, you may not fall all the way to the bottom. It depends on how sinful you are. So that exactly how it happens, I don't remember, even though I've been through it. I don't remember exactly how it happened, but the fact is we have gone through all the 8,400,000 species. Can we chant along with the tape of Srila Prabhupada chanting? Yes, as long as you focus on your pronunciation of the mantras. When I chant, in fact, we used to play that. It used to be a standard thing. We'd play the japa tape during the japa period. It's very nice. Because on the japa tape, Prabhupada is chanting japa with a room full of his disciples. So if you can do it in his presence, why you can't do it through the tape? It's the same thing. When I chant with a group of devotees, I sometimes cannot hear my chant, but others chant. What to do? Well, if somebody's chanting, you know, real loud, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, go to the other side of the room, maybe. Or you can put some earplugs in. And maybe that will help. So you can hear your own better. But if some devotees are chanting very, very loud, maybe there should be a special japa room for the loud chanters, and the quiet chanters can have another space. I mean, you know, it's up to the managers to arrange a nice, whatever facilitates everyone's japa. But I saw this morning that everyone was chanting very wonderfully. It came in for Mangalarti. It was like a beautiful scene right out of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, there was a Tulsi tree there, and all the brahmacharis were sitting around just going to Namaras, you know, Hare Krishna. It was so wonderful. It was mystical to see all the brahmacharis sitting around the Tulsi tree chanting their japa this morning. After we finished 16 rounds of japa, which is the following is more important. Extra rounds of japa or kirtan. It could be many, many ors, or reading the books, or, you know, going out and saving the world. It could be so many ors. If you're living in the ashram, you follow your ashram leaders, how they want to engage you. And if you have time on your own, it's up to you. You want to chant extra japa, you want to do some kirtan, get out their harmonium, sing some bhajans, you know, memorize a few verses. It's up to you. It's like, okay, here's the feast plate. Now, which prep do you want to take first? You see? Can you please explain what happens during a heart transplant? Prabhupada explained this. It's very simple. The heart is a seat for the soul. Now, can you change seats if you want to? Sure. So if the heart transplant is successful, then the soul simply changes seats. That's a successful heart transplant. The old seat was taken. The heart is still, the jiva stays here. The old heart is taken out, and the new one is put in, he changes seats. That's a successful heart transplant. If the jiva doesn't agree to do that, then the patient's dead. You see. The jiva says, "No, I don't want to hover here where you put a new seat in. I'm not going to do that." That's when he dies. He's dead. It's the failure. Heart transplant didn't work. But if the jiva agrees to change seats, or if he's allowed to change seats according to his karma, is what it really boils down to. If he has the karma that allows him to do that, he can switch seats into the new heart that's put in there. Okay, are there many souls in our body apart from our own? Oh, yes. There's millions and billions of souls in your body, but you are the king of the city of your body. You're the leading soul that controls the whole thing. There are millions and billions of jiva souls in your body. If Krishna is the cause of all causes, what do you mean, if? If Krishna is the cause of all causes, whatever happens, we thank Krishna for all good that happens, and why is he not responsible for bad as well? You are responsible for the bad because you are not cooperating with Krishna. Krishna is giving nothing but good, 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 but we're not taking it. We are creating bad by our own lack of not being in harmony with Krishna. Why can't we say that he is the one responsible for all good and bad things? No, he's not responsible for bad things. This is your bad thought. He's not responsible for the bad things. You are responsible. Tell me?
There's a question on the internet.
Oh, let's see if there's any internet questions. Here is a question from Melbourne. It is odd to understand how the pure soul felt envious of the Supreme Father instead of feeling happy of the wealthy and opulent family. So they're wondering, how is it possible? This is a perennial question that we're asked again and again and again. How could the pure soul ever fall down from the material world? It's actually quite simple to understand it. Very simple to understand. Here's how to understand it. Okay. Now, the spirit soul in the spiritual world has free will.
He can stay there or he can leave. It's totally up to him. If he was not given the choice, he's not a free soul. He's a prisoner, you see. He's a prisoner. He has the choice to stay there with Krishna or to leave if he wants. So that he has the choice. So is there any possibility that he could leave? Sure, if he has the choice, there's always a possibility. Now you say, well, there's no possibility. That means he has no free will and he's a prisoner. So there has to be a possibility that he can leave. Now what would be, mathematically speaking, what would be the probability of him doing that, considering how wonderful the spiritual world is? What's the smallest number? Any mathematicians here? It's 1 divided by infinity is the smallest number in existence, you see. So what would be the odds of the living entity misusing its free will? Be 1 over infinity, the smallest possible number or percentage. It would be 1 over infinity. So if you take 1 over infinity and you multiply it times the infinite number of jiva souls in the spiritual world, what is 1 over infinity times infinity equals infinity. Therefore, you have an infinite number of living entities who have made the stupid choice of coming into the material world. So that's how it happens. You can understand it mathematically. And you just happen to be one of them. We just happen to be ones of them. We were the idiots who misused our free will. Okay.
The problem is that we don't want to realize that we are envious.
We don't want to admit it. Yeah, I'm not envious. You know, I'm a pure devotee. Yeah. I'm a sadhu. I'm a paramahamsa. I'm not envious. Yeah, right. Where are the original Sanskrit Vedic literatures stored? They're stored in the hearts of the Vedas are eternal. They exist even before the creation of this material existence. They're eternal. They exist in sound eternally. There's even personified Vedas. They exist beyond even the existence of this universe. It's not they have to be written down somewhere. They're eternally existing in sound vibration. And kept in the hearts of realized personalities who can write them down for us, forgetful souls, when as needed. In the highest stages of Krishna consciousness, one sees everyone else as a pure devotee and oneself is very fallen. But how can such a pure soul see sinful materialists as pure devotees of the Lord? He cannot, unless he comes down to the platform of Majjhamanikari. So such a purely realized soul who sees everybody as a pure devotee except for me, who am the most abominable demon in all of existence, out of compassion, he comes down to the position of a Majjhamanikari to see distinctions between the Lord, the Lord's devotees, those who are innocent and those who are demoniac. Why is the human life so rare? Why are we forced to transmigrate? Okay, it's rare. It's just a matter because 400,000 out of 8,400,000 it's not that big of a percentage. Why are we forced to transmigrate? And the reason is why there's fewer humans than other species is because the jiva is given the opportunity to be a human, but he wants to take it in a perverted way, being an imitation Lord, and he's not satisfied. So he's given a chance to try so many other ways to enjoy, as a fish, as a bird, as a tree, etc. This is there to help him come out of this infatuation with the enjoying separately from the Lord. All these species is simply to help him. All these species are there to help him get free of the infatuation of trying to enjoy independently. Why are we forced to transmigrate for millions of lives? Because we're not satisfied with any position in the material world. We want to try this, that, so many millions of different ways we try to enjoy. Why aren't we given a better opportunity to go back to home, back to God? You were given the best opportunity. And actually, all these species are there. That is to help you get free of the tendency to want to enjoy separately. You are getting, by Krishna's grace, you have the very best opportunity right here, right now. So take advantage of it. Is it true that the majiva comes to the material world and usually takes the Brahma position? Yes. That's described in the Bhagavatam. The first birth of the jiva soul is as Lord Brahma. That's right. And then usually it is so that each jiva goes through the 8,400,000 species of life as part of going through the sojourn. Yeah. You're one happy as Brahma. So now you try, well, maybe Indra will be better, you see. And then Indra wasn't good enough, and I had to try being this and that. And finally I go down to become Indra Gopa. We all go through all these species trying to squeeze some happiness and never finding it until we finally come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master who then plants the seed of bhakti within our hearts, and we get liberated if we take advantage of the spiritual master's mercy. Once you have a spiritual desire and express it to Tulsi or the deities, then how do you strengthen and cultivate that desire? For example, let's say I would like to be a pure devotee and get out of my contaminated neophyte consciousness. And I bow down to Tulsi Devi, my dear Vrinda Devi, please bless me with pure bhakti. I bow down to Adha Gopinath, please bless me with pure bhakti, you see. How do you cultivate and strengthen? Well, and try to manifest it in every activity that you're doing. How to prove the existence of God? That's a very simple thing. Very simple. Okay, how do we do it then? The atheist argument is that everything comes out of nothing. So the theistic version is things don't come out of nothing, they come out of something. So there has to be an original something with the source of existence. That's theism in a nutshell. Prabhupada one time said, our philosophy is substance, you see. The atheistic philosophy is no substance. The theistic philosophy is substance. Our philosophy is substance. There has to be a original substance from which everything has come. All right, then what is the nature of that substance? That's the next question. We understand logically substance because you can't get something out of nothing. There has to be an original substance. Existence is substantial. It's not insubstantial. It's substantial. There has to be an original substance. Okay, then what is the nature of it? All right, let's use an assimile to help understand this. Let's say every day I come to your door and I give you a kilo of gold. You go, wow. How much is a kilo worth? A kilo of gold, a lot of money. Every day I give you 1 kilo of pure gold as your daily gift. You go, wow. Sankarshan Prabhu, where are you getting all this gold from? Well, I have a gold mine. You do? Well, how much gold is in the gold mine? Oh, there's no gold in the gold mine. Oh, come on, you're bluffing. There's got to be gold in your gold mine. You're giving me a kilo every day of gold. So now let's go to the other side of the simile. From that original substance, so we can say that original existential mind, so many persons are coming out. I'm a person, you're a person. It's not like that scientist said we're all simply robots, we're not really persons. I don't accept that. I'm offended by that because I'm a person. You can't call me a robot. I'm a person. I know I'm a person. So we all know that we're persons. We know we're not robots, despite what science tells us. We know that we're persons, you see. So where do all these persons come from? They're derived from that existential mind. So just as you cannot get gold out of a goldless gold mine, you cannot get persons out of an impersonal substance. That original substance, therefore, must possess personality. Guess what? You just found God. You just found him with pure logic. There he is. Now, who is God? That's another question. We can talk about that later. But we have proven the existence of God. Questions on the internet more? Okay. My mother died. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that. Your mother was very dear. We're sorry to hear that. While we loudly chanted Hare Krishna, Jai! That's wonderful. Is it possible that she went to serve Lord Krishna? Krishna is, went to the Lord Krishna's abode? Sure, it's possible. If somebody is sincerely engaged in the service of the Lord and they hear the chanting of the holy names, there's all likelihood they'll end up in Goloka Vrindavan. Even a non-devotee can benefit by remembering Krishna. One of our godbrothers, Kartikeya Prabhu, his mother was dying, and he was there, and she said, "Where is your Krishna now?" And Prabhupada said she went back to Godhead. She wasn't even practicing Krishna consciousness because her son was a devotee. "Where is your Krishna now?" And she left her body. You see? So it was a great boon. Do a kirtan for everybody when they leave their body. Even if they're not a devotee, go do a kirtan for the family members. You may find, go to, back to Godhead and find they got there before you did. Okay, how does lust work through intelligence? Lust perverts your intelligence. Lust perverts your intelligence. Use your intelligence, you know, how can I seduce that girl is a classic example, you see. Lust perverts your intelligence. Reading, hearing, and chanting completely purifies you. But what's the most? It's not the thing, it's the quality. Of course, hearing and chanting is the foundation, but reading is another form of hearing. So it's not so much whether you're hearing or chanting or reading or serving. It's the quality, it's the consciousness in which you do it. That's where the purity is. Focus on the quality of your reading, the quality of your hearing, the quality of your chanting, the quality of your relationships with your fellow devotees. And the quality is the key. Always try to make everything first class, not 10th class. First class japa, first class studying, everything first class. Yeah, that is Brahman. Brahman is first class, you see. Try to do everything first class. That's the key. Do you have stories, Maharaj, of devotees seeing Krishna or Prabhupada, Gauranga, any personalities before they left the body? Well, seeing them. Many of us saw Prabhupada before. Many devotees saw Prabhupada before they left their bodies. The Prabhupada disciples who left their bodies, they all saw Prabhupada before they left their body. they're asking about some mystical experience, you know. But actually, as I mentioned in the previous class, we all had a mystical experience in Atlanta during the Panihati festival. Jayapada Goswami was there also. And I remember it was very wonderful. The deity of Prabhupada, during the kirtan, Prabhupada was tasting the ecstasy of kirtan rus, and Prabhupada started crying. He had a tear coming down from his right eye. The deity was crying in the kirtan. So there are such mystical, amazing things that happen. Of course, many devotees see, we hear many devotees see Prabhupada in dreams. There's many, many experiences like them. As far as seeing Krishna, that is Krishna reveals himself, but not to nonsense. So if you want to see Krishna, that's a very nice desire. Sometimes even Krishna reveals himself to nonsense. You know the story of that thief? Everybody know the story of that thief? He went to the Bhagavatam class seeing what he could steal, you know. Maybe, you know, grab somebody's purse while they're hearing the Bhagavatam class. This was many years ago. Prabhupada tells this story that the thief, he went to the Bhagavatam recital to see what he could steal. And he's hearing the Bhagavatam reciter explaining that there is a boy, a little boy named Krishna, who's loaded with valuable jewels wandering in the forest of Vrindavan without any parental supervision. And he went, "Oh, a little boy is wandering now in the Vrindavan forest, loaded with valuable jewels with no parental supervision. I will go to that forest and I will become a millionaire. I will get those jewels from that boy." So he headed out for Vrindavan, many days walking across India. "I will go to Vrindavan, I will become a millionaire. I will see that, find that little boy Krishna." In this way, he wandered, finally came to Vrajadam. He was wandering. It's a huge area. Even I used to take the
the taxi at the Kamyavan. It's a long, I mean, Braj Mandal is huge. Can you imagine wandering the whole Braj on foot? So for many days and nights he's wandering. Where is that Krishna? Where is that boy? Where is that boy? And Krishna is so kind, he revealed himself to this rascal. Because he was so intensely wanting to see Krishna, Krishna said, all right, I'm going to reveal myself to this rascal. You see. So sure enough, when he saw the little boy, Krishna, he said, oh, Krishna, you have so many valuable jewels. Can you give me some? And Krishna, in the rasa of being the chastised son of Mother Jasoda, he says, no. Mother Jasoda, she will scold me. You see. But then the thief was, he was desiring, and then, but actually he became purified by the darshan of Krishna. In that darshan, he became a pure devotee, just as Dhruva became purified when Prishnigarbha revealed himself. This thief became purified in the association of Krishna. And then Krishna says, now you can take. So in this way, Krishna does reveal himself sometimes. And Prabhupada encouraged me in this way. He said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. He encouraged me that, because I was a songwriter previously, he encouraged me, if you want to write songs like our Acharyas, Narottam Das, etc., then you need to see Krishna face to face, and then you can write songs like these Acharyas have written songs. So he encouraged me in my songwriting in that way, how to become qualified to write the really, you know, songs like Narottam and Vilmangalam. Still working on it. Yeah. Haven't gotten there yet. I'm praying that I can get to this someday. Okay, so now we're down to the last question. Can you tell us some heart-rending story of Srila Prabhupada? Wow. Heart-melting story of Srila Prabhupada. There's so many. But I'll just tell my own personal story. To me, it's really one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had in millions and billions of eons. That time when Prabhupada wanted to make sure that I had gotten a flower. I'll tell this story. Okay, so I was just a young, wild, renegade brahmachari bhakta from visiting L.A. from Texas, along with Vishnujana Swami and the other brahmacharis. I wasn't initiated yet, but a little fired up, you know, enthusiastic young brahmachari. And so anyway, Prabhupada would come back from the morning walk. They would drive him to Venice Beach or Cheviot Hills Park or some other place in L.A. for his morning walk. So he came back to the temple from the morning walk, and there was a wonderful arrangement made by the devotees how we would greet Prabhupada when he came back from his walk. Now, if you've ever seen our L.A. temple, you know there's a big sidewalk area in front, and then Prabhupada's quarters are on and you go down the alley, and there's a doorway in the back to go up to Prabhupada's quarters. So he gets out from the car and he walks down the sidewalk like this, and he goes back to his quarters in the back of the temple. So we would line up along the sidewalk. We'd get out of the car, and every devotee would have a flower, and Prabhupada would be given a basket of flowers. So then Prabhupada comes down the line. You get to have your own one-on-one moment with Prabhupada. Can you imagine? You and Prabhupada have your brief moment. It's just you and Prabhupada having a loving exchange. It was so wonderful. Prabhupada comes to you. You give him a flower, and he gives you a flower. You get to have your loving exchange with your own personal loving exchange with Prabhupada. I mean, wow. What an incredible thing. I mean, the first person in the line was Vishnujana Swami, and he got more than a flower. He got a hug. Oh, wow. And see, I was one of his men, and I wasn't envious. I really wasn't envious. I felt so good that my leader, Vishnujan Swami, he got hugged. I felt like I was getting hugged, too. He got the hug. I felt I was getting hugged along with him. It was so wonderful to see Prabhupada embracing Vishnujan Maharaj. Oh, it was so wonderful to see that. And then I was right behind him, so maybe two or three next, or just two or three down the line. Then Prabhupada comes to me, gives me the flower, I give him a flower, he gives me a flower. Then he goes on down the line. So now to see Prabhupada is like being able to see Krishna directly. Now,
If you can just see, if you could see Krishna directly with your own two eyes, that would be a very wonderful thing, wouldn't it? So seeing Prabhupada is just as good as seeing Krishna directly with your own eyes. That's how powerful he was. Jagat Guru, spiritual master of the whole universe, the dearmost servitor of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna, for revolutionizing the entire Kali Yuga and bringing in a new era of Krishna consciousness all over the world. He's not an ordinary acharya. You see, he's, of all the acharyas, he is the one acharya that was chosen to make this go worldwide. He was a special acharya chosen to do that. Even Lord Chaitanya could have done that, but he did not do that. This devotee, Srila Prabhupada, is so special. He was given that privilege to be go down in history as that acharya who made the whole world Krishna conscious by his movement and by his potency, by his books. So to see him is not an ordinary thing. So, okay, now he's finished. There's a little step on the front of the LA temple going up to the doorway. So I stood up on the step just to get another darshan of Prabhupada as he walked down the line and went back to his quarters in the back. Now, I describe this in this way. You drink Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes, if you can understand what I mean. That's what it's like. You take his darshan. By taking his darshan in a loving mood, you see, you take him into your heart through your eyes. So that was my mood, you see, to take that darshan of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, as he came walking by. But Prabhupada was so wonderful. He was so sweet, just like a loving, affectionate father with all his kids, you see. He looked up and he saw me on the steps. And he wondered, well, here's one that's not in the line. I wondered, Prabhupada was thinking, I wonder if he got a flower not yet. Prabhupada still had the basket with the flowers, so Prabhupada looked up to me and he held out a flower to me. It was body language. There was no words. It was just body language and facial expression. Like, you got a flower yet? And I could have lied and said no and gotten a second flower, but you know, I would never do that. I would never lie to Srila Prabhupada. I don't care what it is. I would never, ever lie to him, you see. So I held up my flower. I was smiling. I had an ear-to-ear grin. My smile must have gone all the way to here. I held up. Prabhupada noticed me. He cared about me. I mean, it was so special. I held up my flower and said, yes, Prabhupada, I have the flower, and I showed him. And then he walked on by. I can't tell you how much that moment with Srila Prabhupada has transformed my existence. After millions of lifetimes of suffering in the cycle of birth and death, to have that moment with the most empowered acharya in the history of the universe, I just can't tell you how valuable that is and how much it transformed my life to have that moment with Srila Prabhupada. So then, now I have the flower that Prabhupada gave me. What to do? Now, if you're a house owner, you can go home, you know, make a nice little glass case to preserve it, you know, on your mantle in your living room or something, right? But what's a brahmacharya going to do? Brahmacharya, you know, we didn't, in our temple, we didn't have even a brahmacharya quarters. We put our sleeping bags in a closet during the day, and they slept in the prasadam room at night. We didn't have a brahmacharya room even. So where are you going to put the flower? Well, there's one way I can keep it, and for some time, I'll eat it. I'll merge it into my body, and I'll carry it with me. It'll purify my material body of all the lust, the anger, the greed, and the madness. So I ate that flower with great relish. Kept it and purified my body with that flower that Prabhupada had handed me. So in this way, that was one of the most heart-melting experiences of my sojourn here in the Krishna consciousness movement. Okay, so I think we can stop here. And one last question. From how does one best develop Shraddha? How do you develop faith? Well, it's very simple. You just have to associate with people who have very strong faith. Sangat sanjayate kama. Your consciousness develops according to your association. So if you will associate with and serve and hear from those persons who have pakka shraddha, unflinching faith, then you will develop it. Faith is a contagious disease. So find somebody who has unflinching pakka faith and associate with them, and you'll become like them. That's why we take a guru, you see. Because I want to take shelter of this person to become like that person. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad. Oh, one more thing here. Please give Nash Prabhu. Where is Nash Prabhu? Nash Prabhu is getting a CC set now. So somebody hand me the CC set and I will present it to Nash Prabhu. Jai. He is understood. And now you must read every single page with great love and devotion. And if you do so, your whole eternal existence will be transformed by the potency of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, this is but that's not the first volume. It should be the first volume. If I'm going to put something, it should be volume one. Nash. Yeah, Bhaktan. Okay. I'm asking him to dive deeply into the mellows of this greatest devotional classic. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we'll stop here. We thank you. Anybody else want to get a set of books today?
They did not raise their hand. They have it.
They already have it? You have the set. Very good. They already have it. Very, very good. Anybody that doesn't have the set yet? So if you don't have the full set of Prabhupada's books, please get it as soon as possible, because Prabhupada wants you to read all of his books. So by pleasing the pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, that's how you will awaken your dormant Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Srimad Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.